Well, good afternoon, everyone. And it is afternoon. Kind of strange for a morning service, but it is afternoon. The holy days remind us that God has a plan to save humanity. Ever since Adam and Eve disobeyed God and were thrown out of the Garden of Eden, mankind has gone the wrong way. And without God showing the way, human beings don't know the right way to live. Solomon wrote in Proverbs 14, verse 12, "There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death." Man hasn't lived according to God's laws, and as a result, there's been a lot of suffering. Sin causes suffering and death. Sins of mankind continue to cause family problems, poverty, crime, suicides, murders, diseases, terrorism, wars, and ultimately will cause the destruction of every human being on the earth if God doesn't intervene. Separated from God and influenced by Satan, human beings will never solve the problems in the world. God has to intervene. Jesus Christ has to return to save us from destroying ourselves. God wants everyone to have the opportunity to enter his kingdom and live forever. So Jesus Christ is going to return and show everyone the right way to live. The Bible tells us a lot about the kingdom of God. Jesus Christ himself spoke often of the kingdom of God, but very few have understood and believed what he said. Even his own disciples didn't fully understand until sometime after his death and resurrection. One of the things they misunderstood was when the kingdom of God is going to be established. So today I want to look at some of the things the Bible reveals about the kingdom of God, especially when the kingdom is going to be established. Please turn to Mark chapter 1. We'll read verses 14 and 15. And here we read that Jesus came preaching about the kingdom of God and announcing that the kingdom was coming. Know that Jesus was not the first to speak about the kingdom. The kingdom of God was spoken of by King David and various Old Testament prophets. But the ancient Israelites never understood the things they were taught. And there are many things about the kingdom of God that are not revealed in the Old Testament. So Jesus came to reveal more about the kingdom of God. And of course, he also came to make it possible for human beings to enter the kingdom. He came to give himself as a sacrifice to pay the penalty for their sins. So Mark 1, verse 14. "Now after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and saying, 'The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel.'" So Jesus preached the gospel or the good news of the kingdom of God. He told people that God's plan was being fulfilled and that the kingdom of God was coming. But the people misunderstood. They thought he had come to restore the nation or kingdom of Israel and free them from the Romans who ruled over them. Please turn now to John chapter 6. Here we'll read verses 14 and 15. Now this comes immediately after the time Jesus performed the miracle and fed 5,000 men with 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish. In John verse 6, we'll begin with verse 14. "Then those men, when they had seen the sign that Jesus did, said, 'This is truly the prophet who has come into the world.' Therefore, when Jesus perceived that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, he departed again to the mountain by himself alone." The people desperately wanted someone to lead them against the Romans and reestablish Israel as an independent nation. Jesus realized that they wanted him to be their king and lead them against the Romans. But that was not why he had come. This was not his mission. Nevertheless, the people didn't understand. Even his disciples didn't understand. Please turn now to Matthew chapter 16. I'm going to read several verses from Matthew 16. We'll start with verses 13 through 16. Matthew 16. Again, we'll begin with verse 13. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? So they said, "Some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." So Peter understood that Jesus was the Christ, the anointed, the Messiah. Now drop down to verse 20. Then he commanded his disciples that they should tell no one that he was Jesus the Christ. Well, that may seem odd, but the reason Jesus commanded his disciples to tell no one he was the Messiah was because the people didn't understand. Even his disciples didn't understand. They thought he had come to establish the kingdom at that time. It wasn't time for the kingdom. Jesus actually tries to tell them what is going to happen at that time, but they refuse to accept it. Let's continue with verse 21. From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised the third day. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "Far be it from you, Lord, this shall not happen to you." Peter didn't want to hear that the Messiah was going to die. Peter and the other disciples wanted him to establish the kingdom immediately. They didn't understand, refused to accept that Jesus had to die. They thought he had come to be their king. But first, Jesus had to die to pay the penalty for the sins of mankind. Please turn forward a few chapters in Matthew to chapter 26. It's Matthew chapter 26. And we'll read verses 47 through 56. And here we'll read what happens when Jesus is arrested. Matthew 26, beginning with verse 47. And while he was still speaking, behold, Judas, one of the 12, with a great multitude, with swords and clubs, came from the chief priests and elders of the people. Now his betrayer had given them a sign, saying, "Whomever I kiss, he is the one. Seize him." Immediately he went up to Jesus and said, "Greetings, Rabbi," and kissed him. But Jesus said to him, "Friend, why have you come?" Then they came and laid hands on Jesus and took him. And suddenly, one of those who were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword, struck the servant of the high priest, and cut off his ear. But Jesus said to him, "Put your sword in its place, for all who take the sword will perish by the sword. Or do you think that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he will provide me with more than 12 legions of angels? How then could the scriptures be fulfilled that it must happen thus?" In that hour Jesus said to the multitudes, "Have you come out as against a robber with swords and clubs to take me? I sat daily with you, teaching in the temple, and you didn't seize me. But all this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled." Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. The disciples were shocked when Jesus, the Messiah, they expected to overthrow the Roman government, was arrested. The disciples fled and scattered as he was tried, condemned, and executed. And despite all that Jesus had told them, They didn't understand that he had to die and be resurrected as prophesied in the scriptures. And they didn't understand that Jesus was not going to establish the kingdom of God at that time. Please turn back to the book of John, this time John chapter 18. And here we'll read verses 36 and 37. John chapter 18, verses 36 and 37. And here we'll read what Jesus said to Pilate, the Roman governor, when he questioned him about the accusation by the Jewish leaders that he claimed to be the king of the Jews. John 18, verse 36. Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here." Pilate therefore said to him, "Are you a king then?" Jesus answered, "You say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." But Jesus stated clearly here that his kingdom was not going to be established at that time. Jesus is going to come again at another time in the future, and the kingdom will be established at that time. But the disciples still didn't understand. Please turn to Acts chapter 1. Here Jesus met with his disciples after his death and resurrection, and they still had misunderstandings about the kingdom. Acts chapter 1, verse 6. "Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, 'Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?'" Again, the disciples still thought that Jesus had come to free them from the Roman government and restore the kingdom of Israel. They still didn't understand. But later, after they received the Holy Spirit, they did understand. So please turn forward a couple chapters to chapter 3, Acts chapter 3. This is after the day of Pentecost. After the day of Pentecost, when they received the Holy Spirit. And here we find Peter speaking to a group of people at the temple in Jerusalem. Acts 3, verses 18 through 21. "But those things which God foretold," again, this is Peter speaking, "but those things which God foretold by the mouth of all his prophets that the Christ would suffer, he has thus fulfilled. Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before, whom heaven must receive until the times of restoration of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began." Peter now understands that Jesus had to come first to pay the penalty for the sins of mankind, and that Jesus would come at another time to establish the kingdom of God and restore all things. When Jesus came the first time, he made it possible for all human beings to enter the kingdom of God. When he came the first time, he fulfilled the Old Testament prophecies about his suffering and death. But he has not yet fulfilled the prophecies about the kingdom of God. These prophecies will be fulfilled when he returns and establishes the kingdom of God on the earth. So let's look at some of the Old Testament prophecies about the kingdom of God. Please turn to Daniel chapter 2. We'll read verses 28 through 45. Here, Daniel 2, verses 28 through 45. Daniel describes King Nebuchadnezzar's dream about five kingdoms, which I believe most of us understand are actually five world-ruling empires. Daniel chapter 2, beginning with verse 28. "But there is a God in heaven who reveals secrets." This is Daniel speaking to Nebuchadnezzar. "And he has made known to King Nebuchadnezzar what will be in the latter days. Your dream and the visions of your head upon your bed were these. As for you, O king, thoughts came to your mind while on your bed about what would come to pass after this. And he who reveals secrets has made known to you what will be. But as for me, this secret has not been revealed to me because I have more wisdom than anyone living, but for our sakes who made known the interpretation to the king, that you may know the thoughts of your heart, and that you may know the thoughts of your heart. You, O king, were watching, and behold, a great image. This great image, whose splendor was excellent, stood before you, and its form was awesome. This image's head was of fine gold, its chest and arms of silver, its belly and thighs of bronze, its legs of iron, its feet partly of iron and partly of clay. You watched while a stone was cut without hands, which struck the image on its feet of iron and clay and broke them in pieces. Then the iron, the clay, the bronze, the silver, and the gold were crushed together and became like chaff from the summer threshing floors. The wind carried them away so that no trace of them was found. And the stone that struck the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. This is the dream. Now we will tell the interpretation of it before the king. You, O king, are a king of kings. For the God of heaven has given you a kingdom, power, strength, and glory. And wherever the children of men dwell, or the beasts of the field and the birds of the heaven, he has given them into your hand and has made you ruler over them all. You are this head of gold. But after you shall arise another kingdom inferior to yours, then another, a third kingdom of bronze, which shall rule over all the earth. And the fourth kingdom shall be as strong as iron, inasmuch as iron breaks in pieces and shatters everything. And like iron that crushes, that kingdom will break in pieces and crush all the others. Whereas you saw the feet and toes partly of potter's clay and partly of iron, the kingdom shall be divided. Yet the strength of the iron shall be in it, just as you saw the iron mixed with ceramic clay. And as the toes of the feet were partly of iron and partly of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly fragile. As you saw iron mixed with ceramic clay, they will mingle with the seed of men, and they will not adhere to one another, just as iron does not mix with clay. And in the days of these kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people. It shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Inasmuch as you saw that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it broke in pieces the iron, the bronze, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great God has made known to the king what will come to pass after this. The dream is certain, and its interpretation is sure. So Nebuchadnezzar dreamed of a huge image of a man consisting of a head of gold, breast and arms of silver, thighs of brass, legs of iron, feet composed of a mixture of iron and clay. And Daniel reveals that this image represents four successive world-ruling empires that will exist before God sets up his kingdom that will never be destroyed. We read in verse 38 that the head of gold represented Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom. So the image Nebuchadnezzar saw represented the kingdoms existing from Daniel's time until the time the kingdom of God is going to be established. In verse 44, we read that the kingdom of God will destroy and replace these kingdoms ruled by men, and the kingdom of God will stand forever. Let's turn now to Isaiah. Read from Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. Another prophecy about the kingdom of God. This passage actually reveals that Jesus Christ is going to rule over the earth, and there will be no end to his kingdom and the peace it will bring. Isaiah chapter 9, beginning with verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end, upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice, from that time forward even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. So this prophecy of Isaiah is obviously describing Jesus Christ and his rule over the earth. He's going to establish the kingdom of God with judgment and justice, and it will last from that time forward forever. We know that Jesus did not fulfill this prophecy when he came to the earth the first time. He's going to come again and establish the kingdom of God on the earth at that time. Turn back a few chapters to chapter 2. Again, we're still in Isaiah chapter 2, and here we'll read verses 2 through 4. And this prophecy reveals that the kingdom of God will be established in the latter days. Isaiah chapter 2, beginning with verse 2. Now it came to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow to it. Many people shall come and say, Come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, and we shall walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations and rebuke many people. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. So this prophecy also reveals that the kingdom of God is going to be established on the earth, and that Jesus Christ, the God of Jacob, is going to judge the nations and rebuke many people and bring peace to the earth. Again, this is going to come to pass in the latter days, at the end of the age, the end of the age of man. Please turn now to Matthew chapter 24. And here I'm going to read Jesus' response to his disciples when they asked him about the end of the age and when he's going to come again and establish his kingdom. Of course, at that time, the disciples still expected him to establish the kingdom immediately. They didn't understand that he was talking about a time thousands of years in the future. Okay, I'm going to be reading several passages from Matthew 24 throughout the rest of this message. But we'll begin with verses 3 through 12. So Matthew 24, beginning with verse 3. Now as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, Tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? And Jesus answered and said to them, Take heed that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. And they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. Well, the events leading up to Jesus' return are described in much more detail in the book of Revelation. I'm not going to go into that. Perhaps we'll hear something about that this afternoon. But even though Matthew 24 doesn't give us all the details, it tells us that there are some very troubling times ahead. As I mentioned before, mankind has not lived God's way since Adam and Eve disobeyed God and were thrown out of the Garden of Eden. So for thousands of years, human beings have decided for themselves how to live and have caused a lot of suffering. There's a lot of religious deception in the world. There's a lot of hatred, strife, and war. And it's going to get worse. Please mark your place there in Matthew 24. We will be coming back. Now I would like to go to Psalm 14. I'm going to read what King David wrote in verses 2 and 3. Psalm 14, verse 2. The Lord looks down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there are any who understand, who seek God. They have all turned aside. They have together become corrupt. There is none who does good, no, not one. It's sad, but in general, human beings don't know God's way. Humanity doesn't know God's way. Verse 3 says that they have all turned aside. So man, influenced by Satan, has rejected God's way and gone his own way. Human beings without God do not know the right way to live. Let's go back to Isaiah. I want to go back to, this time, Isaiah chapter 59. I just want to read there's a couple passages, actually, I want to read from Isaiah before we go back to Matthew 24. So let's first read a few verses from Isaiah 59. We'll begin with verses 1 through 4. So Isaiah 59, beginning with verse 1. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you, so that he will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies, your tongue has muttered perversity. No one calls for justice, nor does any plead for truth. They trust in empty words and speak lies. They conceive evil and bring forth iniquity. Drop down to verse 7. Their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. Wasting and destruction are in their paths. The way of peace they have not known, and there is no justice in their ways. They have made themselves crooked paths. Whoever takes that way shall not know peace. So sin has separated mankind from God. And so humanity is on the path of destruction. Man does not know the way of peace. Human leaders are incapable of solving the problems in the world. Please turn back a couple chapters to Isaiah 55. I want to read verses 8 and 9. It's Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9. For my thoughts, this is God speaking, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. Without God, man will never solve the problems in the world. God's ways are so much higher, so much better than man's ways. But mankind, under the influence of Satan, has rejected God's ways and followed their own ways. Now let's go back to Matthew 24. So again, I hope you marked your place there. I want to Read now verses 21 and 22. Matthew 24, verse 21. For then there will be great tribulation, such as has not been since the beginning of the world until this time, no, nor ever shall be. And unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. So before Jesus returns, the situation in the world will be so bad that humanity will be about to destroy itself. And if that were to happen, no one would be left alive. And we know that this is possible with the weapons of mass destruction that exist today. But humanity will be saved. Jesus will intervene before everyone is destroyed. He will return and save us from ourselves. Drop down to verse 30. Continuing in Matthew 24, verse 30. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Jesus is going to return with power and great glory. And ironically, the people of the world will not be happy to see him coming. They'll fight against him when he comes. But Jesus will overcome them and establish his kingdom on the earth. Please mark your place there in Matthew 24 again. And let's turn to Revelation chapter 19. I believe we read this morning, but we'll read it again. Revelation chapter 19, verses 11 through 16. Now I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat on him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations. And he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Please turn back to chapter 11, Revelation chapter 11. To read one verse here, verse 15. Revelation 11, verse 15. Then the seventh angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. So Jesus' second coming is going to be much different from his first. Everyone is going to see him coming. The whole world will know about it, and this time he's going to fight. He's going to fight against those who oppose him, and he's going to overcome them. And in this time, he's going to establish his kingdom, and he's going to rule over the entire earth forever. Okay, now let's go back again to Matthew 24. Matthew 24, this time we'll start with verse 31. And he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. So at this time, Jesus will send his angels with the sound of a great trumpet, and they will gather together the elect, who are the called and chosen ones who remain faithful to God throughout their lives. The Apostle Paul wrote about this in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. You would mark your place in Matthew. Again, I'd like to go now to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We'll read verses 16 and 17. 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 16 and 17. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. We see here that when Jesus returns, all the faithful who have died will be resurrected, and the faithful who are still alive at that time will join them as they meet Christ in the air. Now let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and I want to read verses 50 through 54. I think we did read from 1 Corinthians 15 before, but I'm going to read different verses. Here we'll read more about what's going to happen to the faithful when Jesus returns. It's 1 Corinthians 15, beginning with verse 50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. The scripture indicates that at the last trumpet, when Jesus returns to establish his kingdom on the earth, all the faithful, whether dead or alive, will be changed. They will no longer have physical bodies. They will be changed to spirit beings. They will inherit the kingdom of God. They will live forever and never face death again. Let's go once again to Revelation, this time chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20, and I'm going to read verse 6. This verse tells us a little bit more about the faithful saints who will be resurrected when Jesus returns. Revelation 20, verse 6. Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Over such, the second death has no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. So those who remain faithful and are given eternal life when Jesus returns will enter the kingdom of God. They will rule with Christ during the first 1,000 years of his reign. All the people living on the earth at that time will be taught God's way, and they will be given their opportunity to be changed from physical to spirit and to live forever in the kingdom of God. We look forward to the time when the kingdom of God is going to be established on the earth. Not only do we look forward to the time when we will be spirit and will no longer have physical bodies that age and deteriorate, but we look forward to the time when people will know God and his way. It will be a time of peace and happiness for everyone. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 24 one more time. This time I'm going to read verses 36 through 44. Matthew 24, 36 through 44. Here Jesus is continuing to speak about his second coming. Verse 36. But of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so also will be the coming of the Son of so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark, and did not know until the flood came and took them all away, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Then two men will be in the field, one will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. We can't wait until just before Jesus' return to get serious about living God's way. We have to always be ready for Jesus' return. God's not going to give us eternal life, and we're not going to be allowed to enter his kingdom unless he's sure that we'll never turn against it. If we want to live forever in God's kingdom, we have to show God that we love him and his way. If we love God, we will do our best to obey him and live according to his laws. If we understand and appreciate what Jesus did for us when he came to the earth the first time, we will recognize how much God loves us and will want to return that love. And if we understand and appreciate what God is offering to do for us when Jesus comes to earth the second time, we won't let anything keep us from entering the kingdom of God. Jesus is coming. The kingdom is coming. Don't miss it.